The wrong syllable. I get it. I'm going to knock you out. Mama said, I just got those lyrics in my head because of Tim Desmond. Hi, people. Welcome to your lyric show, the Backpack Show.
You always have some kind of lyrics in your head.
I do.
And you always share them on the Backpack Show, where we're here to talk about business success and bring you insights from unusual places. And instead, you get song lyrics and weather reports and stuff like that.
Yeah, crayons to color along from home. Listen, if it's like Fight Club here, if you have not said hello, we don't know you're here. Please leave a comment, say hello, and Coach fight. Woodard. Hey, Coach Woodard, good to see you. Coach, do you have the snow up in Maine as well as we do down here in Boston, all over my rooftops again?
You act like it's so far away. Like
It's maybe an hour.
Yeah.
All right, so what else are we doing? Oh, so who do we have for guests today, Carrie?
Well, first, say hello to your biological
father. Hello, my biological father, Steve Brogan. Good to see you. He spawned me.
We have two very high-powered women on the show today. We have Kate Bradley Chernis, co-founder and CEO of Lately. We're going to talk about what that is. Now, she has had a very storied history. She was a rock and roll DJ who used to broadcast to 20 million listeners and then turned marketing agency owner. And she has lots and lots of things to say about that. Now she's with Lately. We're also going to talk to...
Me, Dr. Nadia Zexumbayeva. Now I blew it. Zexumbayeva.
You had your chance. Dr. Nadia Zexumbayeva.
I had it. Was in my little
house. Do you know anything else about her? That's it. She's the author of the Chief Reinvention Officer Handbook.
She wrote some book or something. She did a TED.
How to Thrive in Chaos.
It's a kick-ass looking book. I love the fact that it's very workbooky shaped because that means you're supposed to do something with it.
Yeah, the insides like that too, actually.
Right.
So we'll talk about that.
You got to do something with that book.
It's all about embracing change and reinventing yourself to succeed.
And getting down with DJs.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
My hair's all staticky.
Well, make sure you bring some balloons in on this.
Breaking news.
It's my mom, Diane Brogan. Just a dusting.
We have Kristen. Snow in Nashville, and people are like, they don't even know what to do with themselves.
Naz says his friend Kate's on the show. I guess you know Naz Beltran, or he pretends he knows you. I don't know. Could be
pretends.
Somebody. Yeah. So, I mean, we have so much to cover. We have so much to do. We've got to learn about chaos. We have to really get in and thrive. So I think Dr. Nadia goes first. But, well, you can just read the book if you want.
I mean, yeah, I'll start at the beginning. When I come to the end, I'll stop.
That sounds like a good plan.
It'll be the best show we've ever done.
So we'll grab her, but I have to do a couple ads first because I almost didn't remember.
Just a couple.
Just the tip of the ads. Hey, good news. If you want to check out this website after the fact, go to thebackpackshow.online. We're sponsored by .online. You can get your own .online domain at get.online. Carrie has figured out that she can't get Carrie.online, though. So
that's taken. Also, your mom is .online is taken. So don't even try that one.
Your mom is online.
I tried it already.
You can use the code Chris for 90% off. That makes your domain, for the very first year anyway, it makes your domain $1. So you futuristic domainers, go and make yourself a domain. Yeah. The audio podcast, which was just featured in someone's top 5 new and notables for 2021. I don't know why.
because it's great.
It's a great show, but it only just launched. I mean, it is very new. The paint's still on the edges. Go to castos.com. That's who's hosting it. And boy, they make it easy to host. We'll talk about the other guys later. StreamYard. Okay.
Elizabeth in Austin.
Hey, hola, Elizabeth.
Warm. That's some scary stuff.
The old Texas twist down there.
Yeah, it's scary.
Not Austin, but it's cold, says Naz. And Leslie says hi. Let's grab Nadia. Well,
Dr. Nadia.
Zexumbayeva. Doctor, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Oh, so glad to have you on.
You haven't seen nothing yet.
This will all go wrong in a minute. It'll be great. So you are making the best thing in the world, which is the Chief Reinvention Officer Handbook. We need these people. A lot of things just happened over this last year. So how is Gary Stockton, all the way in Huntington Beach, California, how is he going to know what to do? How is he going to turn his business around without this book? Talk a little bit about what this book does for people.
Well, it was a complete accident. This is a COVID-19 product. I run two things. I run a reinvention agency working with companies, and I have a reinvention academy. And since everyone was stuck at home, the whole community said, how about we use this time and put all of these tools together in the book? So it's very fun, the visual language, 9 tools, all for you to actually play around with the idea that uncertainty is here to stay. So how about we turn it into opportunity?
There's a lot of uncertainty, but that always leads people to double down on what they were already doing for some reason. For some reason, they're like, you know, I run an ice cream shop, and now that nobody can come to my shop, I'm going to run more of an ice cream shop. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even make sense. What's the first way you get people to start to embrace the idea that they have to reinvent?
Oh, first of all, I don't fight resistance. Resistance is natural. It's biological. So when you say, I'm not going to go out of this business, I'm not going to change the product, this is a kind of 20,000 years ago you walking through the woods, hearing a crack in the woods and saying, oh my God, there's a wolf or there is a bear out to get me. Your body tenses up. It prepares to fight the bear or run away from the bear. So your reaction to change is normal and healthy. If this is your first reaction, congratulations. It means you're healthy. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat your people up. Use that energy to actually attack the challenge rather than attack the idea that is on the table.
So Chris is a caveman, but that's natural, you're saying. Like when he's like, I'm not going to change to StreamYard. You're not the boss of me. That's normal.
That's completely normal. That's one of the most revealing and kind of relaxing thing we do in business is stop fighting resistance, use resistance. If your people didn't resist change, if you didn't resist change, I would be seriously concerned. That means your company has no immune system. If they're resisting, it means they are protecting themselves. This is normal, healthy response. Good news. That response for an average human being lasts only 90 seconds. So you let it go. I have a daughter who's 17. She comes from school very upset. She's telling her story of how something is horrible there. And I start proposing ideas and she said, Mom, give me my 90 seconds. So just give your people your 90 seconds and they will move on.
See, 90 seconds, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Although Chris outperforms, I think, as is often the case with him. So hold on to it for a little longer.
Might need more than 90 seconds. I don't know. I might do it wrong. When things are going along, when you're in this process, to me, there's a, and I have not read your book. So you're going to tell me, no, it's right in there. There's a valley, right? So there's this like, we're so into this. Okay, fine. We're going to reinvent. We're going to change. Now we're new. Ha ha. F all that because we just had a problem. Let's all run away again. What happens in the valley of the shadow of death? And what do you do to keep people on the track?
Well, a few things happen. Number one is you have to focus on quick wins. So whenever we start a big transformation process, we map it out so that when the valley happens, we know we'll have first low-hanging fruit or first quick wins. That's number one. Number two is it's a muscle. Reinvention is like a muscle. If you use it on a regular basis, it will become very easy to breathe through the moment of, you know, dip. If you don't do it on a regular basis, it's like taking a shower. If you don't take a shower on a regular basis, you begin to stink. So same with reinvention. If you don't reinvent on a regular basis, you begin to stink. So the most important thing is to do something in the process, but also a lot of things are preventative. It's just developing a reinvention mindset in yourself and your people will smooth a lot of these issues over.
You talked about it like building up your immune system, like your company has an immune system. But is it possible to have too much resistance to change? Like when do you realize that it's a problem?
Oh, 100%. Absolute majority of companies are right now struggling with resistance to change because we lived for more than a century in super long life cycles. So the average business model cycle, average life cycle of a company in the 20th century was 75 years. That meant I could graduate from school, go to Ohio State down the road, graduate from that, come to your company, work in that company my whole life, and not see one change happening. Nothing new would happen. So a lot of our career advice, skills, tools, business frameworks all come from these long cycles. Now the cycles are super short. Our research, and you will see it in the book, the September 2020 research shows the average life cycle across all industries today is 6 years. That means you have to reinvent every 2-3 years on top of everything you're already doing. And that is a problem because people resist change They don't understand that time is of a limit. They think they have time. So yes, it can kill your company very easily.
How big a reinvention are we talking about here? So obviously, like say in 2020, we had whole new products coming to the forefront that nobody had been even wanting before. Obviously, they have different needs now. But what about business models? I mean, those have changed a lot too. Everybody working from home, ways that we're monetizing things. Like we talked to a stripper on the show before who brought the whole strip show online and turned it into like a cooperative.
Yeah.
So they share money. It's like business models are changing. So how much do you need to reinvent yourself every 2 to 3 years? Like, do you need to blow everything up or just pieces that aren't working?
It's very, very custom. So in the book, you will see a very simple canvas, 3x3, that shows 9 types of reinvention. Some are going for very incremental things. Some go for intermediate and some go for really radical. And also the scope of reinvention changes. Some go for a subsystem. Subsystem, it would be like in a car, reinventing just a transmission. In a system would be reinventing the whole car. And then ecosystem would be like Tesla, reinventing the way we charge cars, the way we drive cars, everything around it. So you have at least 9 things to choose from. And it's about finding the right fit for right environment. That would be a freedom. And I like the fact that we have a whole buffet of options, at least 9 different types. So choose the one that fits your needs.
So I can choose my own adventure. I'm big on those kinds of books.
Absolutely. I used to keep my finger in though, so I could flip back if I didn't like how it turned out. I would have like 3 fingers in the book sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who doesn't like save points? Janice, by the way, is just pointing out the fact that everyone in Texas needs a shower. Janice, you know, we weren't talking about it, but you know. Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys. Our heart goes out to you. Those pictures are devastating. So
it's terrible.
R5 formula, a formula themselves, says they really like the idea that you have a, you know, reinvention muscle system in there. Deb points out accurately that we have a love-hate relationship with change, don't we? We want it, and yet we have to resist it. So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, we are born reinventors. If the baby is healthy, have you ever seen a baby who needs a bonus to start walking? This is just normal for us, right? We start walking because we love change. But we are educated out of it. Because again, our education system is tailored towards long cycles, not short cycles. So we are rediscovering and reclaiming our reinvention superpowers as we go this century for sure, and this last year, 100%.
Don't you feel like we've all grown about 8 years worth in 1 year from last year?
God, I know.
Some companies, 20 years. I mean, they finally made the leap that we've tried, begged them to do in early 2000s. And they finally, okay, digital. Yeah, I guess we have to now. So, yeah, I mean, it's a thing with every disruption. You can look at it as a punishment from God, or you can look at it as the greatest business opportunity of your lifetime. And that is the choice to make. Do you want to sit there and resist it and feel bad about it, or you actually want to use it as a jump, as a kind of trampoline into a new version of you? That's the question.
Do these cycles happen sort of naturally? Like, will it be apparent when the business needs to go back to reinventing again? Or do you have to actually put on the books like, okay, revisit, you know, our strategy, might be time to blow some things up?
That is such a sophisticated question. I love it. So no, you do need to be proactive in mapping out your cycles. And the cycles in your industry are very different than cycles in others. For example, I was a head of transformation for publicly traded mining company, almost 100,000 employees. Our cycle in mining has nothing to do with a cycle in entertainment business or in high tech or in fast moving consumer goods. The cycles closer to the customer are usually much shorter. The cycles further away from the customer, mining is as far away from the customer as you can imagine. Nobody buys iron ore in bulk. So these cycles are usually a little bit longer. But even in the most protected industries, think even monopolies, we have not seen a cycle longer than 10 years right now. And that means you need to know your cycle. You need to be proactive, scheduling in the books the time to reinvent, the resources to reinvent, the commitment, the time to test new ideas, all of those things. So a cool question, really deep.
Chloe had a good question too, I saw. Chloe had asked a question. How do you know whether or not you're stuck and you need to overcome an obstacle or you've reached a point where it's time to reinvent?
Love that question. I have a tool for you. If you go to the link that was just provided, Kate was sharing that link and others were sharing that link. If you go to the link, you can download a free test. We call it the Titanic Syndrome test because we researched quite heavily what happened at Titanic because it was such a good metaphor for what's happening in business. We are like one big Titanic going to the bottom of the economic ocean. So you can take a very, very quick test and know that either you have it and it's time to reinvent, or you are still pretty clear and you have some time, some room that you can stay with your current product model, market, whatever.
Well, now you know, you can just go take the test and you'll be all handled. Doctor, we're going to have you back for just a couple of panel questions at the end. So if you could stick around, please do. Thank you so much for swinging by. It's so important. I'm going to put you backstage just for a minute. Boop. And I'm going to get ready to go to
the surface. There's so much here.
We have so much to ask, but I don't know. I got to go to Cancun.
Well, think about the resources. You're going to Cancun.
I got to go to Cancun. I'll be right back.
No, you're not allowed.
I hear it's all the rage.
No.
You know, you write a book like that. If you don't have an amazing website like Dr. Nadia already has, you can go to PubSite, pub-site.com. You can throw up a website so fast. A couple hours later, you'll be done. And if you're not all that good at making websites, they'll do it for you. $499, which costs a little bit more than a Canadian dollar.
Crazy expensive, by the way.
81 cents to a Canadian dollar. All right. So that's that. We're also sponsored by Johnsonville. Last Johnsonville Appreciation Day coming up. Send an email to Carrie@chrisbrogan.com and she will send you sausage out of her sausage.
The window is closing.
The window's closing fast.
For the sausage fairy to come.
All right. And this show's made on StreamYard. StreamYard.me/StreamYard. They're good people.
Get your own chief reinvention officer. Damn, hey, so straight. People are in the comments. Gary says, pack a really big bag, Chris. And he also says, my great-grandfather built furniture for the Titanic. Doesn't that kind of suck? It's like,
wow.
Probably this great, amazing work that he had done.
Guys, I've got to sense some big stuff's happening. Anyway, hey, Paul Bond's here. I love Paul Bond. So
no, there's so much more, Todd. You got to get this book. Check it out. Seriously.
It's a thick working book.
It looks thick, but it's not at all intimidating. It's broken up into these very little helpful bits. And like visually, it's very easy to take in. But the important thing is the mindset, like overcoming that resistance to change so that you can reinvent your business as necessary.
Well, if we were the kind of show that had music to walk on guests, we would grab Kate Bradley. We'd have Kate Bradley Turnus on, and I'd have to play like the Damn Wells to get her on here. But instead, we're just going to say hi. Hi, Kate.
Hi. Did I tell you that, or did you intuit that?
Does somebody research some things every now and again? No.
That's impressive.
You're many years as a DJ and your husband's band notwithstanding, you know, you run a company called Lately.ai. So we're going to allude to your past, but talk a little bit for a minute about what Lately does and what are we doing here?
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, I just wanted to say, when we have sausages, we've nominated Al Stewart to be like our sausage theme music, and we sing Time Sausages or The Year of the Brat. Nerd alert.
Sausage strips now. You need to write some new material. Just saying.
And when I'm done with Lately, that's what I'll do, right?
Okay. Good plan. So. Become a sausage stripper.
That's awkward. Work out a little more.
You would be more qualified to be a sausage stripper.
So Lately is the only social media management platform that uses AI to create content for you, right? So imagine of all the social media tools that are out there, they're really focused in two buckets. One is management, content management, and another is analytics. And some do both of those things. But what everybody forgets is like the beginning part, right? So no amount of bad creative can be turned into good content. That's the Gary Vee saying, right? And it's true. So Lately really starts with the DNA of what you're publishing, the words, right? So the way it works is we automatically assess every piece of content you've ever published for about a year back on your social channels. And we build a writing model based on what we can see your audience likes, comments, and reshares. And then anything you feed the AI brain, it'll apply that same writing model and look for the best keywords and word structures based on, you know, what it already knows. So instead of having to guess what your customers or your target audience would like to read, watch, or hear, you can use AI that knows.
And make this more of the same.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
similar. Is it like riffing? So it's not exactly the same.
Yeah, it'll give you, so for example, if you took this webinar, you pushed it into Lately, we would first automatically transcribe the whole thing and then break out the best quotes of anything that you or Nadia or Chris or I have said today, and then match those quotes up to the video clips of us saying it, and then give you the opportunity, so you might get 100 literally in just a couple minutes, and you get the opportunity to go in and customize any of the things you want as well. So for example, Gary Vaynerchuk, you know him, that guy.
No.
So Gary.
Isn't he Belarus or something? He's from Russia somewhere, right?
I don't know if it's Belarus, which is fun to say, by the way. And I love that he does speak the truth. I love that he shortened it to Gary V, because it's typically Americans who can't say people's last names. Shame on us, you know.
But like Shexambaiva.
Well, we don't so even close. Try. You tried. That's important. But yeah, it does use Watson. Nazim, that's right. So Gary launched an entire Twitter channel last year that is fueled only by Lately and nothing else. And it gets him a 12,000% increase in engagement. Right? Which is because the AI is smart AF.
Oh. I get it.
But a robot talks on this Twitter channel and he gets more engagement. What does the word engagement mean to you when people are like, hey, robot, that was cool?
Well, it's not just a robot because that's a really good point, Chris. So we believe that robots and humans must coexist. And so Lately is very specifically designed for the human to come in. Like, we'll start you at third base. Okay. That's my job. That's saying something, gets you far along that path there. But you have to come in and touch every single post that the AI recommends. And the reason is it wants to learn your voice, but also the mistakes and the beauty and all the humanness of humans, that's what gets the home run, right? You know that. I mean, we started out this show with, you know, I shared something personal with you guys and you all gave me a hug virtually and I felt it, right? Mm-hmm. And a robot can't do that.
Robot hugs suck. That's a t-shirt I have.
Skynet. Steve Garfield, you are going crazy back there.
Rob Hatch says, I can feel Chris getting twitchy right now. Yeah, this is. I hate robots.
I know.
I hate Calendly.
I do too.
Calendly is saying, you know, perfect. Let me let you talk to my peasant software. And my peasant software will now deal with your shit.
You're
and
just grumpy. Like,
I am grumpy. So,
Nadia would have to tell you to get over that resistance. It's good to have it, but then get over it.
It's true. I mean,
but why, Kate? Why do we have to do this? And I would say I'm playing devil's advocate, but I'm not. Yeah. Why? Why do we need robot overlords to look at our stuff?
So you don't need them. I mean, so I did this manually by hand for Walmart for 3 years and got them 130% ROI year over year for 3 years.
Because right? You're awesome.
Because I'm awesome. Thank you.
But it's not 12,000% increase.
It's not the same. And it's, you know, if you have an army, you don't need it. But most of us don't have an army and we have to be everywhere all the time. And we have to be good, great even. We have to cut through the noise. So, I mean, you've seen... For example, if you were to publish something about this show and you were to say, Kate Bradley Turnus from Lately is our guest, who cares who I am? Nobody cares who I am, right? That doesn't matter. But what might be interesting is here's how you can get 12,000% increase in engagement by pushing a button. That's an interesting lead-in to your content. And so that's the idea is, can we find not only more ways, but more better and different access points. Humans all respond to different things. Everyone's not the same. And so the old way of advertising to people with one message all the time, not only is it antiquated because social media platforms won't let you anymore, but because people are different flavors, you know? So why wouldn't you try to meet them all where they want to be met?
Lately helps you get more better. I like it.
So one thing I could see is it most definitely is a smart system for brainstorming and all that. There's never an end of moments where a system can say to you, like you said about the 12,000 versus let's talk to Kate. You're right. If someone doesn't know your name, and you have great name recognition in a space, but if someone doesn't know who you are, 12,000 sure makes people pay attention. They're like, that's baloney. I want to come fight her. You know, I mean, like anything. I mean, remember, conflict is a great buy, right? People come to shows for conflict.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things I can tell you that we've fed into the AI, and this would be interesting to, you know, the music nerds around here, but as you mentioned, I used to be a rock and roll DJ, and
yes,
my last gig was broadcasting to 20 million listeners a day for XM. And I worked in a very specific format called Adult Album Alternative, where you play album rock across multiple genres, so new music and old music, and old weird deep cuts, for example, right? And what I learned was that in order to gain trust from my audience, I needed to very carefully make them know that even though I had the mic, they have a voice. It's a two-way street. What you guys do really well here all day long, right? And the other thing I learned was that the neuroscience of music tells us that when you hear a new song, your brain must instantly access every other song you've ever heard before in order to index that new song in your brain. Now think of that. That's an instant flood of nostalgia all the time you hear new music, right? And so what your brain is doing is it's looking for familiar touch points in order to figure out where this new song fits. Now, marketing and sales is the exact same way, right? I'm trying to sell you something new by making you trust me, giving you that familiar touch point, right? Now, your voice is a note, Chris, right? It's a frequency. When you read text that I write, you hear my voice in your head, right? And so again, it's the same idea that we've actually used as a bedrock for the AI and essentially fed it content that I wrote to help with the recommendation engine that it's pulling context out for, you know, our customers.
How long does it take to train the AI? Rick Charlie wants to know.
Yeah, so it'll work instantly, Charlie. It's pretty amazing. If you push a button and you give me a blog that's like, I don't know, a page long, you'll probably get 87 posts and 40% of them will be ready to rock. 20% will need your hand. But then the more you feed it over time, it'll just start to be able to narrow in on your voice even better.
There's a kind of data lake necessary to make that sort of thing work, right? I mean, if you have a body of work that the AI can chew on for a little while, it'll get a little bit better response than if somebody is terse or just a retweeter. What does it do with a retweeter? Those people can't benefit from this.
Yeah, I mean, so anybody who has any content that they've been publishing out over time that the brain can study can benefit, but you don't necessarily have to publish your own content. So for example, I don't have any time to write anything. I'm doing this other thing, CEOing, but I do a lot of this. So for example, I'm going to ask you guys for the hard file here so I can run it through the auto generator. We use this as lead gen. This gets me a 98% sales conversion. 98%. Again, the AI is smart AF, right? But the reason it does that is because, again, it doesn't matter that it's your voices and that it's your content. I'm honing it for my channels, right? Yeah.
So will it make Chris say bad things?
No.
I mean, I hope so. Make him.
It could, like, so for example, we have these word clouds that will you can tailor to theme, campaign, for example, or voice, you know, whoever's channel it's on, and you can look at what words are actually popular, like the DNA of what we're publishing here, right? And so one of our most famous hashtags that lately is peeing my pants, because that's what I wrote when Gary Vee was retweeting us. And so the insight there is that a lot of people recommend that you should never write your own hashtags. That's the bad way to go. But it turns out for us, it's the best way to go, because that's the human element, you know, that's the
hashtag
void.
Peeing my pants. Mm-hmm. I'll use like hashtag, you know, that's right. Or some ridiculously long editorial type hashtag.
Yeah. And that's the stuff that people respond to. It gets the most retweets, and it's because it's that extra little, you know, that magical thing that a robot can't replace right there.
Can you tell the difference? Like, can people, when they look at the content, if you were to give it to a group of people, and you've probably done this actually just to see how good it is, can they tell which was generated and which was the original or the source material or human written?
So there's an 80% overlap between what our customers tell us they would pull versus what the AI writes. So it's pretty high. I can tell because I know it pretty well, but a lot of people can't tell. Yeah.
There are different machine learning, and I'm way over my head while I'm saying all this, so I might as well be saying cracker, monkey fist. There are different tools and different models to pull human language understanding, to grab a lot of unstructured data and do something useful with it. Do you talk much about that ever, like what the modeling is you use, or like how proprietary is it compared to what Watson's done? Meaning, if we had another machine language researching expert on the show, and what they especially did was look around for to make sure that diversity, inclusion, and equity was part of what the storyline is. Can you tune for that? Are there pieces of lately that do that now, or is that coming, or what's the plan?
Yeah, so a couple of great questions in there. One is, is the AI authentic, right? So it is. We started out with basically just machine learning and natural language processing, and about 82% of the brain is ours. And then we integrated with Watson to help advance that a little more. In the background, to tell you more what's coming, a couple things. So Lately works in multiple languages. So if you give me Japanese video, I'll give you Japanese social posts. It also can work with tones of voice. So this is pretty cool. We've done a recent integration where you can push a button and make it sound like Chris Brogan, or you can push a button and make it sound like best practices for the mortgage industry, right? So that's been really exciting because we find that our customers, number one, struggle, you might say, is to find that voice. People think they're boring. It's so amazing. They don't know how to get it out there, find that little piece of character that's worth glomming onto, that's worth making a hashtag, you know, whatever it is. And so I give a free writing course once a month where I literally will auto-generate context, and then we'll go in and like put a voice on it and think about, you know, how do you use the keyboard in front of you to accentuate the words, right? Remember, guys, I spoke out loud for a living. Your voice is a note, right? And so I still speak out loud for a living. I use Dragon Naturally Speaking. I don't type at all. So I can hear myself. And I have resting bitch face in writing. So like, I have to emoji the hell out of it or use italics or ellipses.
You come off super harsh and everything.
Yep. And so showing other people how to do that as well. We're always, our number one trick is, have you read it out loud, right? Because you know, this is my favorite, right? So listen to this. This is a coupon from West Elm. They said, this certificate is issued for reward purposes and is a duplicate of the certificate you received by email. What they're really saying is, hey, dumbass, we emailed you a copy of this coupon. You can't use both. Can you hear how hard that was so that's so easy trick, right? Just read it out loud and think about what a human would say. What would your friend say? What would your mom say? And change it.
Oh, my mom is from Somerville, Mass. So that's a tricky, complicated
question. You ever seen the movie The Town? It's basically that.
Bob Collins says, is AI and NLP retraining us how to engage and speak today?
Yes. So we have customers who reverse engineer lately. So they'll start with those word clouds before they interview a guest or before they write a blog. So Phil Treadwell actually wrote a blog, ran it through lately. The social posts that came out were crap. And he's like, well, my blog must be crap. So he rewrote the blog and redid the whole thing, you know? So,
if we've learned anything, though, from experiments with artificial intelligence, is that it brings in any biases inherent in the original source material. So have you been kind of surprised to see that maybe there are some biases inherent in people's content? Have they been maybe forced to rethink their way of looking at the world based on what the AI shows is their point of view?
Yeah, I mean, so if your audience likes, racist content, for example, the AI is going to look for the words in that content and pull it out for you. Right? I mean, it is. So we haven't seen that with our customers just yet. But again, it's the human's job to go in, and it's very, very important, and help curate the AI. And there's multiple opportunities that we give our customers to do that. And we really do insist. In fact, we'll tell you that the product isn't for you if you're not willing to do that work, right? And be the be the police, because only humans can really be the right police.
You can't just let it go out the door. It's not a, you know, it's not a fish throwing kind of product. That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I was also thinking, I do like racist content, but only when it's against Guam. So I'm going to really have to work to get that.
Man, your AI is going to spit out some really weird nonsensical shit.
I was hovering my mouse over request a demo.
It'll be a mix of like song lyrics and some really sensitive stuff and then just like completely out there.
Yeah, well, and I can't even go anywhere with Kate's album thing because then I'm like, you know, I'm trying to think of like seven tracks into Pinkerton or something just to go there with that reference, but I'm not doing it. I'm just,
Dr. Nadia's like, when will this stop?
I mean, I think the idea of reinvention, by the way, to tie it back to Nadia, is right in there. Like, so for me, for example, this line that I've lived seemed like a zigzag until not that long ago, but like I was a fiction writing major and a line cook and a rock and roll DJ. Those
naturally.
Are all. Yeah, naturally, right? And now venture capital. These are all things for pirates and hard things for women, by the way. Right. So apparently I love getting
you don't get to get you don't get to do that. You're pirates. White male.
I've written 11 teen different like, yeah, blog women, posts the about struggle. Pirates.
You shut you're up over queen. There.
Pirates are not just female.
Okay.
This is true. The best ones are, I think.
That's true.
you made me have to go and do it. Hang on, look. the beauty of pirate ships. Chris Brogan from 2008.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, good. Yep. I look forward to seeing it spit back as word salad by
Lady. Without being
that
guy. 2009. Oh, that's so cool. Pirates. Pirate moves from extension to action. March 2009, where I wrote a few posts about pirate moves.
That's amazing.
That's what I was fisting, not. Women.
I'm really glad that you're not so obsessed with being right that you would derail the entire show to a point no one cares about.
Do you know what? This is like when Jessica Alba made fun of Conan for having a word wrong, and she was wrong.
You don't get to be like, up with women when you're like a middle-aged white dude.
Up with pirates. Bitches.
Fine. You can't call me a bitch either. I'm going to find this yellow card and give it to you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Boom shakalaka. Yellow card, Brogan. And Brogan is going down like a bag of hammers tonight.
I love you guys.
You know who sucks? People from Guam. That's who sucks. Hi, Dr. Nadia. I'm bringing you back.
Nice. I'm having so much fun, guys. I'm seriously planning to try lately. Carrie, I'm with you. Yellow card, that was Chris.
Thank you.
The original pirate. We will.
Meanwhile, look at my blog from 2008. Let me just go back. Just on the wrong part of the storyline. That's all.
We're just getting up on you. You know, there are a lot of us today.
That's
here.
Right.
Power in the numbers.
It's all with love. It's
it
all with
is.
Love.
Lots of love.
So I would hope that people, when they see in their content inherent biases, that would be a pretty good time to reinvent. One would hope. Right?
That was going to be my question to Dr. Nadia, is you see me wincing because of robot writers, because I'm an author. Like, this is like, this is like somebody, you know, handing the steroids to somebody else. Like, I come up with my clever ideas. I come up with my witticisms. I don't let robots do it. Dr. Nadia, make me wrong. Make, you know, help me change.
I'm a scientist, right? So I go back to what works for billions of years. And one of those things that works is biomimicry. You can mimic nature. You can learn from nature. One of the main principles of survival in nature is reshuffling information. When you mix information in a new way, you become more creative and you survive better. So for me, why I would like to use lately is I would like lately to reshuffle for me. And then I fuse that again to find new creative voice. So it's not either or for me. I think we can beautifully combine the life of a human with the life of a robot, giving to the robot things that maybe that it's better for and keeping the things that we're better off, love, creativity, fun, joy, many other things that the robot cannot take away from us.
You're hired, by the way.
Kate, I was thinking this. I was thinking, you know who you could use as your sort of like, you know, front lines there.
I know. You know what I think about, though, too, is there's it's the Pillsbury story, right? So Pillsbury had cake mix in a box, and they used to include an egg or powder. It was like a powdered egg, right? So you didn't have to do anything. You literally just mixed it and put it in. But they found it wasn't selling because people were freaked out because there was no human element. And so they took the egg out. So you have to put an egg in and then voila.
It's so dumb. Yeah, the women were like, what? I didn't even do anything. It's not really work. I didn't earn this cake praise.
Give me a freaking
break.
Yeah.
I had to crack the egg.
The psychological about myself. Thing. Yeah, and how did they discover that? Like, how was it? I wonder why it wasn't the flour or the sugar. Like, why was it the egg?
Chris, you know a lot about women and how they think. Can you? Why wouldn't they? Listen,
when I make those cakes and I add the eggs, the thing I feel is that I feel like I'm adding my, you know, ability to bring this the rest of the way home. It's what they call the last mile in technology. Mm-hmm. In technology, there's all this infrastructure, but it doesn't work if the last mile isn't right. Right. So there's a lot of companies who deliver a lot of good service, but mess up the end point, the actual human contact. So that's
what I'm more like, what is the fastest route to cake being finished? I'm very goal oriented. So I don't speak for all women, but like if I'm baking a cake, it's because I want some cake. Like,
you know,
my
nieces and my nephew call me Auntie Cake.
Oh, love it.
Yes. So,
Todd says the pirates need some reinvention. There's actually a great book by Sam Conniff called Be More Pirate about how today's modern day kind of business pirates, if you want to call it that, people who think outside the established rules are the ones who are winning. He's talking about, check it out. He's talking about like golden age pirates or whatever, not like, you know, just people who kill and maim and stuff. The people who were great marketers who made you think they would kill and maim, but really just didn't.
I just want to say hello to Legislation Generation over on the Twitch. Welcome to Twitch. Alan Jackson says it's a trap.
Don't do it.
Trap.
He did, though. He totally did. I will come right in and talk about that.
I love mansplaining.
Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
Fastest way to cake. All right. We have two last parts of the show, and then I can leave and cry all by myself. So here we go. We're going to do the person of the day.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
I hadn't really thought about it. I just said that and, you know, realized I don't really know who I want to. Let me just look here.
Coach Woodard wants to know if you have any regrets. Hiring a showrunner.
Coach Woodard could be the 6-time winner if he starts asking that kind of question around here. All right.
We'll have to get him a jacket.
I think Bob Collins, he's had a few wins, but he, you know, his question about AI and NLP is, I think it's an important question. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about how much more clearly we talk when we have to tell ALEXA what we need her to do and all that sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. More pirates. Brosplaining.
Brosplaining, I like that.
You're not going to live this down, Chris.
Dude. I love you, Chris. I feel bad.
Oh, thank you. Well, listen, here's the last question of the show. I'm okay.
And we lost Chris.
The question is, what goes in your backpack? And the question is, basically, it could be something physical, like cake, or it could be something metaphorical, like women's rights. So here's the question. What goes in your backpack? And I will start with Dr. Nadia.
It's very simple. Number one, lipstick. It's funny, right? But research shows that number one thing that people ask in concentration camps and refugee camps, women, is lipstick just to feel normal.
Wow.
Number one, lipstick. Number two, I do need a good book. Not necessarily my own book. They're usually pretty boring. But a good book. And I need a couple of pictures of people who are dear to me. I think this century, especially the last few years, it's more about the who than the what or the how or the why. So if you have the right who, you have people with whom you walk, or have at least their picture to remind them that you're walking with them, that's enough. So I think I would stick with that. A lipstick, a book, and some good people around me.
Trademarking right. Brosplaining over here.
Deb said we should have given it to Janice, but you know, I don't want to give her an apple. Her fridge is out of power, so I don't want to give her anything.
You don't need to refrigerate apples, you freak.
your apples aren't in the fridge.
Gary is really happy today.
They're in my belly.
So in the fridge. Yeah. Kate Bradley Churness, what goes in your backpack?
Okay, so we're on the same page. Eye cream is my thing, so I'm a big believer in eye cream and you know, startup life, I don't get a lot of sleep. So that's been my savior And then I was just going to put Lauren right in my backpack. She's my head of growth and everything. And I can't live without her. And she actually is having a baby today or tomorrow. And I'm going to have to live without her for a couple months. And I'm totally freaked out by it.
Wow. You're only the second person to go the human trafficking route on the backpack show.
Well, the baby will have to come with it. So
it's maybe like Russian dolls. Yeah. Like nesting.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to put him to work as an intern, like immediately.
Lauren and some good eye cream. At first, I thought you were saying, you know, like a pistachio eye cream.
Ice cream.
Well, she has a weird ass accent, but I guess some people do. Oh my gosh.
You're so right about lipstick, though. I think I had a friend whose mom was very sick in the hospital after having a baby, and the nurses were like, oh, that poor dear's not going to make it. And she heard them saying that. So she put her lipstick on, and they saw her doing it, and they were like, oh, well, she can't be that bad off, I guess. If she cares about her. And they started treating her differently, and she made it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They started treating her like she was going to live. It was just lipstick. It's powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
Chris, you should try it.
Yeah. No, it's a magic thing. Kazakhstan is a place where most of gulags were held for Soviet Union. So almost every concentration camp is in Kazakhstan because it's a huge land.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of them are women and children because the enemies of the state, all of their families were arrested as well. So there's tons of stories about just the power of lipstick. If you just feel a sense of normalcy of some sort of hope or humanity, suddenly you have energy. So Chris, not that you're in a concentration camp, maybe it feels like today, but lipstick.
Lipstick it is. I'm going to go find some.
Here, lean forward, Chris.
Is it cherry chapstick? I was going right to I Kissed a Girl.
I used this banana stuff a previous guest recommended.
Oh, right. Mongo Wasn't Kiss? That the
two dough girls came on. And so I ordered a variety pack of this Mongo Kiss stuff. And I love the banana one. I immediately lost it. So I had to order another variety pack just for the freaking one I liked. Just letting you know. The struggle is real, Chris. This is what women go through that you will never understand.
Let me tell you about a struggle.